Radio City Talk. Game on.
And welcome back to Game On. My name is Matt Jones and we're talking Everton now. I'm joined by a Blues fan and author David Fahili to talk about their game this weekend against Arsenal. And I'm not sure too many Everton fans are expecting much from this one, David.
No, not really, kid. Not really, kid, no. Good afternoon, by the way, Matty. They've been on the beach for about 5 or 6 weeks now.
they have.
Let's not say that if it isn't true. They've been on the beach. So, no, most are just going for a day out to see the mates tomorrow, I would imagine. But it's not tomorrow what it's about. It's about the summer and next season. This is a really critical juncture for us. We're trying to talk like a really big club. Like they want to be in the Champions League and the latter stages of the Champions League. New ground, new owner, billionaire, this one, Usmanov, blah, blah, blah. Well, this is where it starts. When you build a house, you don't build the 5.3 million mansion at the start. You put the footings in. And all the drains, and that's the hard graft, and that's this is now. That's what's upon us now.
Well, it's an interesting one, isn't it, this weekend, I think, because there'll be some Everton fans looking at it, and without any insider information, it could be Ross Barkley's last game for the club. It could be Romelu Lukaku's last game for the club, because there has been so much speculation about their future, and I, from an outsider's point of view, looking in, would say that they're both crucial to what Everton want to do moving forward.
I would, especially Lukaku. I seen it something yesterday saying that his goals don't win his games. Well, I'm sorry, but I watch every single minute of every single game, and that's just not true. He's carried us this season. If any one individual has carried us this season, it is Romelu Lukaku. Not the kids, not people who've scored 5 goals here and there. It is Romelu Lukaku. As for Barkley and both of them, I would say, looking forward as a methodology, you build around youth. That's what you want, experience and a spine, but you'd actually want the legs in the team to be able to take you over all the hurdles, what you're going to encounter, more cup ties, more games, more travelling. All of that comes with success. So you've got to be ready for it. Well, I would say that, but I honestly, genuinely, after 12 months, nearly 12 months of his tenure now, I don't know what his blueprint is. I genuinely don't. So that's why I said to you just 2 minutes ago, it's crucial. He needs to start now letting us in on his vision so that we can buy into the vision, because otherwise people are just getting, is he doing this? Is he doing that? The midfield we've got now is great. I like all the players in it, but there's no width. Now he's bought Bolasie. We've already paid £30 million for Bolasie, who's injured, but will come back. But he still doesn't provide width because to a four-man midfield, because he can't defend. So I want to see, is he going to go a Christmas tree? Is it going to be a 3-5? I don't know what it's going to be. But I need to start seeing what he's looking to do, kind of. No, I don't want it, you know, bespoke. I don't want it verbatim, but I want it to be, he's giving us a general idea of where we're looking to go, and the signings and who he lets go this summer will be absolutely fundamental to that.
Well, let's look at this season then. And whatever happens tomorrow, Everton are going to finish 7th in the table. They're going to be 5 points behind Man United. They can close that gap because United, I don't think, have any interest whatsoever in beating Crystal Palace. No. But huge gap down to 8th as it stands at the moment. They're 15 points above Southampton. Europa League football guaranteed for next season. Has this year been a success?
Well, yeah, if you're looking just at the basic facts. But I would count, yeah, because we qualify for Europe, but I would counter with that. I would counter that argument with, listen, there's 4 teams in the Champions League, plus Man United, plus Arsenal. So right now, sitting here right now, I'm not trying to be funny, and I'll go to all of these games in Europe and wherever, but I'm saying now, we will struggle right now with what we've got to do any better next season. Thereupon, it comes on them again. The onus now becomes on them. If you really do want to step up, you don't do this overnight. Apart from Leicester City, no one's ever done this overnight. It's an incremental thing. You have to gradually build towards it. And you will make mistakes more often than not along the road. But as long as you continue the momentum, that's how you get success. Well, we need to start some momentum now. 7th place and a qualification in the Europa League will not be good enough in 2 years' time. And if we don't do something about it this summer, we'll still be here in 2 seasons' time. That's my point.
Well, the squad needs fleshing out, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Gareth Barry, Phil Jagielka, these are players that aren't going to go on forever.
No,
Seamus
Coleman's,
Seamus Coleman's missing for the first half of next year. So it'll be interesting to see where they do strengthen and how wisely they use the money that Mascheri gives Ronald Koeman.
Mm-hmm. I think you'll find it's going to be a 2-3-4 windows project. I get that too. However, We are desperately short of bodies. We had, as well as Luchman, in our last four games, we've had four kids who could have played for that under-23 team what won the league. Now, that's great. It's fantastic for the club, but it's not fantastic for the squad. That means that four kids have supplanted people who are getting paid to be in our squad and getting nowhere near the team. Therefore, it was a mistake to have them in the squad in the first place. Do you know like that? He's got Delafeo out on loan. He doesn't know whether he's going to sign Valencia. There's loads of... Really, it starts becoming 8, 9, 10 bodies when you start adding it like that. And that's a third of your squad. Somebody's got to, honest to God, sit down and get right on this as soon as that final whistle blows tomorrow. And if we're going to be playing games at the end of July, somewhere in Europe or at home, and then somewhere in Europe. So somebody really does have to go to work on this immediately post-haste.
And just a couple more names. And the Asse's out on loan. Yeah. Cleverley's out on loan, and he's going to probably sign permanently for Watford. Yeah. Kone's going to go, so that there is going to be a big turnover. But there can't be that big a turnover in players going out, because there aren't actually that many that you would want to see got rid of before other names come in.
Well, if you had those names we just mentioned, and if either or of Barkley and Lukaku went, this is before you were making any signings of your own. You're already talking 5 or 6, 7, maybe even 7 players, and you haven't gone to your list yet, who you were looking for. So that's what I'm saying to you. I would say, for Evertonians, it's just my opinion. Other people might feel differently. But I would say we're still in the early stages, and what the Europe thing is a bonus to us right now. That's not where our focus is. You know, look at Man United. They haven't really put their heart into it. They haven't been anything in the league this year. And that was an avenue to Champions League football. And they never really tried till the semi-final. So let's not all get mental about the fact that we're in Europe. Yes, it is a rung on the ladder, but I'd rather see silverware. I'd rather see qualification for finals and semi-finals and big games and winning against big teams away from home. It's a statement. That's what I want first, myself, my own personal self.
Well, let's move on to tomorrow then. You're listening to Radio City Talk. It's Game On. My name's Matt Jones, and I'm joined by Everton fan and author David Fahili. Arsenal is the game. And you could do Liverpool a big favour by getting some. I know it's very much in Liverpool's hands. You could do Liverpool a favour, though, if they're going to slip up against Middlesbrough. Is that something that even bothers you at all?
No, not at all. No. And the fact, I counted that, I would never look to do them a favour. I would never expect no quarter from them either, by the way. However, our record at Arsenal is lamentable.
It literally is. 20 years since you last won there?
20 years. But the other ground, it was lamentable. We won a couple of times near the end, but it wasn't that great there neither. And this one's just as bad. So if I was a Liverpool fan sitting at home now, I wouldn't put any stock in it at all. At all.
Well, it'd be interesting to see how they line up. And as we've said, Lukaku and Barkley could possibly be playing their last game for the club. But he's got that big task now as well of trying to overhaul Harry Kane, who's 2 goals clear of him in the Golden Boot race.
Sanchez is playing in the game. If he gets a hat trick, I think he's up there.
Sanchez is level, isn't he? 24, I think. So it's quite a battle. And we've been asking, who do you think is the better player, Kane or Lukaku?
I think Lukaku's the better player because of the pace and the strength. I only watch Lukaku, so I've got to say that, by the way. But he's the best Everton centre forward I've ever seen at that age. With all them, you know what he reminds me of? On a sport and a genetic sporting point, Anthony Joshua. I saw that kid box about 2 years ago live, maybe 3 years ago now, and I seen him, and boxing's not really my game, but I could see he had everything. He just didn't have the experience and the little bit of know-how what you need. Well, I look at Lukaku and think the same. At 27, 28, he will be a beast, and he will be able to play up on his own, hold it up on his own, turn people and run them, and once he's moving you cannot touch him, because you can't knock him over. So you've literally got to foul him. So you do that once or twice, you're getting sent off. So defenders are low to do it. Man City done it and let him run in the away game this season, let him run from his own half, and he scored an absolute worldie. And so then Chelsea tried it last season in the cup game at home to get tight to him. He turned 3 of them, put it into the box and put it in the far corner. He's got everything. If he really puts his mind to it, he's got everything, in my opinion.
And I think the thing about Kane is he's being backed up by Dele Alli, Christian Eriksen, Eric Dier, these players who can create chances, whereas Everton maybe don't have quite as much in terms of firepower.
No, we're one-dimensional. If, especially scoring the first goal in games. If you look through our season, just off the straight off the top of my head, he invariably does that as well, which is the thing. It's like a batsman with like a flat stack pulley, or a batsman who always scores essentially in the second innings when you need 180 to win. That's not winning you the test match. It's the fella who gets 85 in the first innings and puts the graft in to build on. So yeah, he's absolutely fantastic.
He's got a lot of his goals at Goodison this season. Mm-hmm. Is that one of the reasons why the form at Goodison's been so good compared to away from home, do you think?
It has. I'd say the results rather than the form, because before Christmas we were lamentable. We were just also-rans. We were down in the bottom half and we were also-rans. Since Christmas, the results have improved. But this was my point about the progress thing. I can't remember a team. We scored 6 against Bournemouth and they scored 3 back in the same game. So that's not like a caning. Also, we never battered anybody. The games, what we won twice, I think, 4-1 and once 3-1 at home. And the games were tight until 75, 80 minutes. And then we got 2 or 3 goals in the last 10 minutes and finished them off. But that's not caning, people. Our form's been solid at home. It's been where we don't buckle. But I wouldn't say it's been sparkling. That's what I'm saying. There's loads of room for improvements in loads of categories. And that'd be one for me, is seeing games off. When you're 1-0 ahead, put it aside. If this was other teams in the Premier League, they don't do that and allow and give another team 15 minutes to get back into the game before they score again. Other teams go bang, bang, good night. That's it, lock it up. Let's all go on. And that's what I'm looking for the next level, to be honest.
Well, hopefully they can start that tomorrow against Arsenal. Let's quickly wrap up. Thoughts, how's it going to go?
I think we will probably lose the game 2-1, maybe 3-1.
Is that just because Arsenal have got something to play for and Everton don't?
Yeah, and our record and the fact that the players are probably on the beach already because they have been in the last couple of games. There's no motivation for it. You know, like that. I mean, they always want to play well for Everton, but the other team are definitely motivated in that it would just slip up. So that it's the same at Lukaku with the golden boots. I can't see him scoring twice down there. I think he's able to score twice down there, but maybe I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. And I'm going the game as well, by the way, so I'm not trying to throw my hand in with the toffees. I'm just saying, in my experience going there, we don't play that well, to be honest.
This is Radio City Talk. Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.